Okay, we continue in the Rambam. We're in the 22nd chapter, Perchav Beis, Hilchos Mechira, Halacha Gimel. We're discussing the topic of a person is not able to sell or give, transfer ownership of something that does not exist in the world, whether it's a gift or a present, etc., etc. As we gave examples, let's say, whatever I'm going to sell you whatever fruits my tree will produce next year. Well, you don't know that that's going to happen necessarily, so you can't sell that. It's not here yet. If you're going to gift someone, you know, my animal is going to give birth to something. To when it gives birth, it's not pregnant yet. If it's going to give birth, well, we don't know. So there's no such thing as a sale. And you can even, if you make those sales, you can back out of those deals. Because they're not real deals, and there's no problem of a Misha Para, you get a curse for backing out of a deal if there really was no actual sale. So now we continue in Halacha Gimel, getting into more details. So what about situations where you don't actually own it, but it exists, and you have accessibility to get to it? Would that be the deficiency of something that's not able to sell, or can it be sold? So it depends on the scenario. Halacha Gimel. Avol ha'pesek al shar shebashuk. Let's say the guy makes up to sell anything that is sold in the marketplace. So he made up a price. There's a market price. There's that stuff, that product is in the marketplace. The seller just doesn't happen to have any. And he makes up a price and he sells, and the guy gives him money for it. But that particular thing that he sold to him, he didn't have it yet. But, and here's the important point, the normal problem when we say that you cannot sell something that is not in the world is, number one, the item, the item doesn't exist. That's number one. That's a problem. But if the item exists, then already that's one good step in the right direction. Second step, if it's readily available to the seller, so then he can sell. He can sell something that exists and is readily available. Now, why is it readily available? Because there's a market price out there. And he can just go, and he'll go somewhere else, get it, and then sell it to him and make his profit. So in this situation, now it's only if the market price is out and there's a set price. If there's no market price, you can't take the guy's money. Why not? There'd be a problem of interest, because it could very well be that when this stuff does come available, it's going to be at a higher price. And now, no, higher price, then it's interest. Less wouldn't be interest. Whereas if you give me money, right, I'm the seller, you give me $100, and I hold on to it for a month, and then I turn around and I sell you something for the $100, but now it's worth $110, then effectively I've given you interest when I'm paying you back that thing. When there's a market price, then it's not going to go up. It's not a problem of interest. So that's a side problem that the Rambam is dealing with over here. So now, once you've made up, you took the money, now chayiv liknos, the seller now has to buy that product that's out in the market, v'litin lokech masha pasak, and he will now sell it or give it now to the purchaser based on what they agreed on. Now, at this point, this is already a real bona fide sale, and as we said already, biblically, it's a sale money. Rabbinically, we're not happy with that, but biblically it is. And in that situation, v'im chazer, if the seller backs out of the deal, mekabel mishapara, he receives the curse for backing out of a deal. Because in this situation, this is a very important idea. Ram will say it specifically in the next halacha. There's something called smichus hadas, which means the fellow is relying and assumes that you're going to do it. In other words, one of the problems with you can't sell something that doesn't exist, a lot of times the buyer doesn't believe you're going to sell it. And you have to have, on the part of the buyer and the seller, they both really think a sale is going to happen. Otherwise, I said, yeah, sure, yeah, okay, fine, I'll buy it. You know, but it's not really going to happen. And doesn't even, so as we'll see in the next talk as well. So the fact that it is there available, and the seller is just going to make it, give me the cash now, and I'll deliver it, you know, in 2 days. So then the buyer understands that, yeah, he's gonna come through on this. And the seller has the cash, and he knows that the buyer wants that as well. So then we're okay.
So a guy can sell eggs that don't exist because eggs are readily available.
Readily available means they're in the marketplace.
Yes, eggs are in the marketplace, and we have a standard price for eggs. So you could sell eggs that don't exist yet. I mean, I'm just using.
Well, only the market price would come out only when the eggs are there. The market price depends.
Everybody knows how much eggs cost.
Well, no, it depends how many eggs are in the marketplace. They've got to be in the marketplace. It can't be a day where there's no eggs there. If the commodity isn't there, the price hasn't gone out.
The vendor, that storekeeper doesn't happen to have eggs.
That's fine. But if he can go to Sobeys or go to the farm, that's okay. That's what we're saying. As long as the eggs exist. Not that they're going to be hatched tomorrow. Right? But they exist. As long as they exist, you can make the sale. Right? Now, futures would not be so simple. What you mentioned, I think, last week. Futures is not such a simple thing unless it's going to be stocks. And that might be something else we'd have to look into. Halacha d'aleph. How about, now the question is, how close does this item have to be in terms of sellability? I don't know if that's such a word. But anyway, availability, saleability or availability, the Rambam goes through a little bit of details in Halacha d'aleph. Misha pasak al shar shemshuk. Okay, let's say he makes up with the money, with the market price, and he makes up the following offer. She itain arba se'in besela. The guy is going to buy from him 4 saw of flour for a seller. And I don't know why the Ram picked that price. Could be any price. I don't know why. Case before, he didn't pick a price. Now he picked a price. I don't know why. But anyway, he picked the price. Now, the guy does not have flour. But let's see what he says. Imhoyu shibolim. But what if the guy only has stalks of wheat? Now, what do stalks of wheat become one day? You just got to grind them up, and then they become flour. So, hare ze kona, it's acquired enough. It is considered an acquisition, even though it's only stalks. And if they back out of the deal, he acquires it enough, and the guy gave him the cash, lekabel mishapar, he'll get a curse if he backs out of it. But it's not enough, because it's not just enough that the guy's got stalks in the field. It's got to be a little bit closer to reality. For who? And that's on the following condition. Sheye ro'eh, that he sees lo bagar. He sees them in the guy's silo. Okay, so he's got it in the silo. It's not that many steps removed. Oh, he says, or sheyomar lo, or the buyer says, bashuk in the market, hareini soymach alecha, I'm depending on you. One of those two. The seller has to tell the buyer, I'm depending on you to get it for me. Or he's got...
The buyer tells the seller.
I didn't say that?
No,
the buyer. The buyer says, I'm depending on you, the seller, to come through for me. One of the two. Either he sees that it's that the stalks are in the silo already, because if they're only out in the field, that's going to a long way from the field till it's a bag of flour. But if it's in silo already, okay. So now he's got it. All you got to do is just grind it up, and it's done. Or the guy says, "I'm really depending on you." Avalim lo nira bagorim. But if you don't see it in the silo, velo amarlo, and the buyer did not say, "Hareini sabach, I'm relying on you." Then even if he would offer the cash, still lo samcha daita, the buyer does not trust the seller about this, and that you need it on both ends. Why? Lo samcha daita shomocha, the seller doesn't rely on him. Veinu makabel mishapar, if he backs out, he won't even get a mishapar for backing out of the deal. Now, of course, can't keep the money. He'll give him back the money. But why is he doing this? Sherry Omer is going to say, Shema Pasuk, he could have made a deal with somebody else as well. Vein Tzarchli, he doesn't really need my wheat. In other words, if he doesn't say he relies on it, and it's already a step away, it's not like the first case where the guy says, okay, will you get me what's out in the market? And yeah, fine. Here the guy says, listen, I got some wheat in the, let's say the wheat is in the field. And the guy says, okay, I want to buy it for you. Well, he doesn't think the buyer really is that serious, because the buyer says, listen, I need wheat, this guy's got it. So, you know, you try to hedge your bets, you know. So what do you do? Here. He sees one guy with wheat in the field. So he says, okay, here's $100, and you'll get it to me soon. Then he walks and goes to another place, says, listen, you know, how do I know that guy's not a little yusuf, I'm never do it. You know what? I might find another guy who's ready, got flour ready. And I'll put another $100. But, so he's going to spend $200? No. Then he'll back out of the other deal. And he doesn't care to get a mishapar, to get a curse. That's what people hedge their bets all the time. So if it's not that eminently close to becoming flour, or the guy doesn't say, I'm relying on you, so the seller, even though he takes the money, says, yeah, I take the money. You think I'm really relying on him to come through? He's going to come back probably in 3 days and ask for his money back. So you know what? I'm going to try to find other customers who might be able to buy it better from him. So therefore, you need to have the assumption of the buyer and the seller that they're both serious about it, and then it's a proper sale. And if you back out, you would get a curse for that. We're now on Halacha Hey. Now we're going to go to a little bit more subtle, more of something being in your control. And that's going to be Halacha Hey and Vav and Zion and Ches and Tes. Next five, deciding it could be here, could be totally be here, but what's the control of the seller of it, as you'll see in a minute. Or accessibility will be another issue. Hey, Dover She'enu Bershusa Shal Makna Eina Nikna. Anything that is not Eina Bershusa, we will define this, we're not going to translate it simply the way it would look like, not in his property, but we mean not in his control or not readily accessible to the seller, cannot be sold.
Can I ask you a question?
No.
Before, what the thing you were talking about before, never really got a chance to ask you were saying basically that you can't sell something.
Okay, so that's considered like something that's not in the world if it's not in his accessibility. Kate, let's have an example. He said like this, Ma she'irash me'ava marchalach. You know, I have a rich father, and he's a number of things, and when my father dies, and I inherit it, then I'll sell it to you. Let's say a chair, a really good chair. I know exactly the chair you want. When my father dies, I'll sell it to you.
It's not his right
okay?
now.
Or let's say he's a fisherman. And he says, you know, I'm going out for a catch today. I'm going to sell you right now a big 5-pound salmon.
He doesn't have it.
That I'm going to catch. Right? Even though now the chair of the father owns is in the world for sure. And one day the son may very well
inherit. If the father is gifted.
Whatever, but he doesn't have access to it. That's the thing.
That's the thing.
So same thing with the fisherman. Mashitala mitzudasi minayam nasunoch, and that which comes into my fishnet from the sea, I'm going to give to you. Or sadazu, this field. You see that field over there that belongs to Shmoigli? Likeshekachera. When I buy it from him, kinuyaloch, I'm going to give it to you. It's going to be yours. All these three cases, lo kana klum. Nothing's been acquired. V'chein kol kubiyos, something similar to that. And the reason for all this now is because it's not in his control. Each case, it's not his control to kill his father. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? It's not your control. You don't know you're going to inherit it. It's not in your control. You're going to catch a 5-pound salmon, and you know you might want to buy that field that somebody owns, and he may not sell it to you. So therefore, however, the commentaries mention. What if he says, I will sell you a field when I buy one? That's okay, because there's accessibility to buy any one field he wants to buy. It's going to be one field he can buy. If he doesn't get this one, it's not reasonable to assume between all the people who own fields in the world, he can't buy one field from somebody and sell it. So that already becomes something accessible for him to sell. Okay, now once we've said this, Vav gives us exceptions to this rule. Where although you don't have that accessibility, because of extenuating circumstances, the rabbis allow the sale to take place. Mishahoyo Marisho Goses. Let's say the person that he is going to inherit from is on his deathbed. Mm. And you'll see why we're going to make an exception here. Venatulimus, and he's going to die very, very soon. It's a question of hours. He's going to die this day. Okay, we know. Don't say, how did we know? What's it say? We know. Now, let's say the son, to make it easy. The son's father is dying. He is going to inherit some money, okay? Now, the kid already needs to start preparing funeral arrangements. It's not like, we're not talking about, you know, if the father's going to die, it's not like a Shiloh. It's like, in an hour or two, he's not going to be alive. And it doesn't pay to start planning late when sometimes you need to plan early to get the burial that day, whatever.
Yeah,
and he's going to need some, could be Friday, he needs some cash. You got to go to the Chevron issue with cash. He hasn't got no cash. So what he could do is, if he'd like to sell some of the father's property, now get some cash, give it to the Chevra Kedisha so the plans for burial can be made. So we can spend the money to take care of the burial. Now, there has to be a number of conditions for this to happen. Number one, what about the kid himself? Don't you have any money? So however, Benoni, only when it's the kid is poor. Because if he has money, we know the rabbis would not make such a decree to help him out. Because we know, for example, if a father doesn't have any money to support himself, we force the son, if he has money, to take care of his father, and certainly to bury his father. So the guy's got money, too bad. We're not going to allow that acquisition to take place since it's not yet yours. But if the guy is poor, and more than this, we know what's going to happen. If it has to be a particular situation. And if delaying this till the father dies, achiyamus, v'yimkor, and then only then he has ability to sell the stuff, that the burial will be unduly delayed and the body will be in a denigrated state. In other words, if I'm able to give him the cash an hour or two before the father dies, we can get him on a plane to go to Eretz Yisrael, catch the next flight, whatever, and doesn't have to sit for 24 hours or 48 hours. You know, there's all kinds. You know, I just today, it's not a member of the shul, somebody who has like soft affiliation with the shul holidays. So Nebuchadnezzar, he found out that not even religious, but he wants. You know, some people are not religious, but when it comes to death, they want to be religious. So he just found out that his brother, who's a trucker, passed away, and they found him in his cab van on the highway somewhere in British Columbia. Ooh. 9 hours north of Vancouver. Like, ooh. I forgot what it's called. It's 4 hours beyond Kamloops. What?
Prince Rupert.
Prince Edward, I think. No? Prince Rupert? Maybe. No. Prince something.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Pretty funny.
But anyway, so they just found him in the cabin, whatever. He died. So now they're struggling. So he just calls me. He's the only rabbi he knows. Says, "Can you help? I don't know what. I don't know anything. I don't know. Do I start sitting shiva now?" Like, he doesn't know anything. Like, totally. Does never. So I said, "Come over." So, you know, so right away I hooked him up with Akiva Balter from Basic Burial, which I think is the best person in the business in Toronto if you need it. So anyway, so he starts explaining. Like, he says, you know, the logistics to pull this off. It's like, you know, you have to have a coroner because if anybody dies, whatever. I don't want to get I can't get into all the details. But, you know, the coroner has to determine, because he had no place of residence. He lived in his cab van.
He didn't have a primary residence?
No. He's a trucker. You know, okay. So not every trucker has a place
Keep
where they live.
Trucking.
Single guy. And he was, you know, he died in the cab, right?
So Jewish, now, Jewish guy? Obviously.
Jewish. He's a Jewish guy. So now, you know, in that Prince Rupert, whatever, you know, they have no Jewish community there. The closest one is Kamloops, which might be marginally Jewish, may have a cemetery, but he might not even be buried with a Jew. Right. You got to get him get him to Kamloops and then get the body flown to Toronto. This is not simple. No. And sometimes, you know,
it's expensive.
You That's need to act quickly to be able to not have the mace be mevazet from that way. So a lot of times you may need money even beforehand. You know, if you know the person's dying and you want to be able to make all the arrangements, wow. And they say, you know, need cash up front. So therefore, if, again, the son is poor and does not have the money, and by us delaying him getting the money till after the death, it will cause undue delay, which will be denigrating to the body. Okay?
So it's not as
if... Tiknu chachamim, the rabbis made a decree, shimach harvamer, if he sells and says the following, the son, the inheritor, says, ma she'irash me'avi hayoim, that which I will hear from my father today, machor lach is sold to you, mimkaro kayim. The sale is a good sale. It's an exception to the rule. Because we take the covet of mace, and the fact no other way to happen, the rabbi said we're going to allow that.
So it's not if the sale is ending at Best Buy, and he needs some cash to get the big screen TV from the future inheritance.
This is just for this case. That's it.
Well, that means a big crowd.
Again, Sayed Ani, what about a poor fisherman? Who he doesn't have anything to eat for supper tonight. Right? So now, he has to buy, you know, if he doesn't get the money up front for what he's going to catch, the stores will be closed. When he comes back with the catch, the stores are closed. When we'll be bread and butter and all this stuff, he won't have what to eat. But if he makes the sale now and gets the money, buys what he needs, he'll go out and catch the stuff. And he says, Ma shetala mina yom mitzudasi hayom, what I get from the sea today that I will catch, mocher lach is sold to you. Mimkaro kaim, the sale is a valid sale. Mishum kedei chayev, in order to have him live. It's a machlokas what this means exactly. Yeah. Does it mean that he has enough to live today? In other words, can he only sell a fish that's enough for what he needs today? From the Rambam, it appears that's what it means. Rambam, it would appear that, no, let's say he needs exactly for dinner tonight $2.50. So can he sell a $5 fish? Okay, so Rambam seems to say he can. Other Mephorim say, no, you can only sell exactly what you need for that day. Be that as it may, whatever it is, it still is an exception to the rule because poverty creates this exception because otherwise he'll have nothing to feed his family.
But the Sema, it disagrees and he can sell everything in the
day, even though it feeds him
for many days.
Yep. Okay, Zion. Let's go back to the son and the father again.
Just in that case, if there's three or four sons, each one can only talk about their own inheritance, their own future calculus.
Well, whoever's the one who's going to take care of the funeral.
But if I'm only getting 25%, I only have control of 25% of the...
Well, it could be, let's say, all four brothers will, if they're going to...
Yeah, but kind of like that, they don't always...
If they're going to share the cost.
I think the funeral costs come off the top before the inheritance.
Whoever is going to take care of it, you know, whatever, you know.
That's an expense.
That's the same thing with the story with this guy. He's amongst many siblings. He figures if I don't take care of this, it isn't going to happen the way it should be with a Jewish proper burial. Wow. So I said, Hashem gave you a big mitzvah before Rosh Hashanah. It's Mamash Mace
mitzvah.
Anyway, wow. Zion. Ha-bein shemochar benichsei aviv b'chayi aviv. Here's a very tricky case here. The son had the audacity to sell some of his father's property b'chayi aviv, while the father's still alive and healthy. Okay, now listen to the whole case first. Step one. Okay, the right to do that isn't simple, but we'll see. Umeis habein b'chayov. The son now dies in the lifetime of the father. Okay, you got the picture here?
Yep.
The son goes and, you know, pulls a chair out of his father's house, sells it to some... He took the money. I'm selling you my father's chair. He's going to die, you know, soon, one day, you know, and then you'll get it, you know. I always know you like this chair. Son's got the money. The son's got the money, okay? Son has spent the money. Son dies. The chair's still in the father's house, okay? Then the father dies. Now, you guys remember from the laws of Nachala, from inheritance, who's going to be the next inheritor? Right. Now, wait a minute. Ben HaBen, but the grandson, the son's son is alive. So who's going to inherit that chair?
The grandson,
as we learned, and it's a direct inheritance. Yeah. It's not like going through the dead. It's not like the dead father inherits.
The Zeta right to
and
the grandson.
Then, and then it goes straight from grandfather to grandson. Yeah. So now, Ben HaBen, so let's even say further. Let's go further. Let's say he sold the chair. He mamish sold it. Now, how he's able to do that's interesting, but anyway, he did it. He pulls the chair out of the father's house. He sells the chair. The other guy has the chair. The son had the money, spent the money, ate the money, used the money. Now, the son dies, father dies, grandson
inherits.
Inherits and can go into the buyer's house and say, that chair is mine. He may take it from the Lekuchas. Why? Because really, the son sold something that he did not have accessibility to, had no right to sell
it. From his father.
That's
basically
pretty much similar. Well, let's be Malamed Schus. He thought the father was going to die and he would be the inheritance one day. We wouldn't call it out and out intentional theft. Chas v'shalom.
It's an intentional theft.
But it turned out to be theft.
Incumbent.
So what happens? So what really happens is the sale really wasn't the sale.
Yeah.
And really, the money should go back to the buyer, but there ain't no money to go back because the father's dead and he spent it all, whatever. So now the grandson, can go to the purchaser and just say, that's my grandfather's chair and I inherited it and I'm the owner of it. Sharei Aviv Mochar Dover, because his father sold some Shlo Bo Adayin L'Shuzah that was not yet in his
domain
to sell. Vinimsu comes out and the chasim v'shu sa'af. The property was always still the grandfather's stuff all the time. Vizen, this son, Yoresh Aviyaviv, the grandson, Yoresh Aviyaviv, he is a direct inheritor of the grandfather. And that's the rules of inheritance. And therefore, he gets it. He gets a direct inheritance. He doesn't have to even give back any money. unless he used the money that the father sold to help with the burial of the father. But otherwise not. But otherwise, there's no, he has no responsibility.
Is there any way for the buyer to protect himself?
Well, you ask, why am I allowed to go into your father's... Listen, if he lies, there's nothing we can do. Nothing you can do. It's, you know.
He's not getting delivery of the chair, so he knows something's up.
Now, he's
got the chair. It's in his domain. He walked into his house and took it back out.
Now,
the grandson came into the guy who bought the chair
now,
and said, I'm taking it back.
One second. One second. Ben Motzi. Now, the truth of the matter is, the son, before he died, really could have nullified the sale at any time he was alive, because he really wasn't allowed to sell it. Right. But if the son, not the grandson, son would have nullified the sale, he'd have to give back the cash.
Yeah. That's
all right? But it turns out the son died, you know, not a good man, you know. But the grandson, he has nothing to do with what the father owes, because this grandson is not getting anything through the father. He's getting through the grandfather. What my father stole is not my business. So it comes out interesting. The buyer is out in that case.
Why does the grandson have to pay for the rest of the inheritance?
Because I have nothing to do with what my father... My father's a ganav. You think you have to pay... If your father would be... not yours. If another person's father would be a ganav, do I got to pay back what my father stole?
No.
So this guy will say that the grandson's father... stole property from his father, right? And no right to sell it. So he took money he wasn't lawfully allowed to take. But that item never left the grandfather's domain. So the grandson directly inherits. In fact, that my father's a ganef and took money, what do I have to do with that?
But doesn't it even further distance it's, it? Because the father died
and would be inheriting
and
through
grandfather,
the father. If the grandfather would have died... And now the father, before the father died.
Yeah, now that's a different story.
And okay, then the father died.
Now
I'm inheriting through my father, and now my father owed to pay you back.
Okay, yeah. I can pop now.
So that's the difference over there.
Here, there's no connection at all.
Okay, we want to try one more? Let's try one more. Okay, yes, one more. It's not even, we got 4 minutes till 9 o'clock, right? This is, now remember, you recall, we learned long ago about a Kinyan Agav. Let's just repeat what a Kinyan Agav is. If you buy a piece of land, you can make at the same time a Kinyan Agav the land for any metaltalim that you say, you know what, I'm also going to buy the lawn chair. Mm-hmm. And remember, the lawn chair does not have to even be on
the
property.
Land.
It could be in China, right? As long as it's yours.
And you can do avadim also. You can
right,
do
whatever.
At the same time.
So now the guy's going to want to make a Kinyan Agav. And the question is there issues of Dover Shul Balaam with a Kinyan Agav? Let's see. Misha Nasan Karka Maton L'Chaver. Let's say he's giving a gift of land to his friend. V'Nasan on Gaba, and he gives it through, not on the land, but through the Kinyan of Agav, which the thing can be somewhere else. He gives him Mea Dinorim. He says also, through the land, there's 100 dinars I'm going to give you. Now the question is, where are those 100 dinars that he's giving it to him? So if the 100 dinars are somewhere in his possession, he doesn't have to be on the land, but he has, it's his,
somewhere.
it's in the bank, let's say. It's in his Florida home. There's 100 dinars sitting in the home over there. Well, that's the simple rule of Kinyan Agav. Kevin Shezacha Basada, once the purchaser or the giftee gets the land, he gets the money. That's regular Kinyan Agav. But Vim Ein Lo Dinar, if the guy doesn't have any money or access to any money, the giver is not obliged to come up with 100 dinars, right? Until the intended recipient would bring a proof that he had money at the time of the gift. In other words, the guy says, I'm gifting you this land and $100. And the guy says, thank you very much. And he says, the land, okay, where's $100? Well, you know, I thought I was getting $100, but I guess my friend never paid me back, and I never got $100. So I never had $100 to give you. I'm sorry, you're out of luck, and it was the Dover Shlomo Olam.
Right.
So now, even if he gets $100 later,
doesn't matter.
He doesn't have to give him. Now, The recipient says, well, you know, I want to get it. Well, too bad. Now it's up to you to prove that I had access to $100 at the time the kinyan was made on the land. That's right. If you can't prove it. So it comes out, even if he's going to have $100 a week from now, it doesn't matter. When the kinyan was made, the $100, he had no accessibility to $100. That will rule for any other types of movable objects that a person wants to give or sell together through kinyan agav on the land. If it's not in the possession or the control of the seller or anosa, the gifter, lokani doesn't acquire it. We go back to that rule. You cannot give anything over that's not in your rishus. Just like the Gemara says, you can't be makdish something that's not in your rishus. Certainly, you can't be makdish something that's not in your rishus.